for organizing today's panel and for giving us the opportunity to exchange views on the role that nuclear weapons play in security and other contexts of the 21st century. In this connection, I also wish to join in warmly thanking General James Cartwright and Mr. Paul Ingram for their very insightful presentations. Mr. Chairman, thanks largely to the humanitarian initiative, we have an opening, or we should say a space, to effectively spotlight, or as Mr. Ingram said, shine an honest spotlight on the utility of nuclear weapons. We also have an opening to question and to robustly examine and challenge the myth surrounding nuclear deterrence and its perceived effectiveness in the current international security environment. A focused discussion on nuclear deterrence in a working group charged with taking forward multilateral nuclear disarmament negotiations is therefore extremely important. We find working paper WP4 submitted by Austria and working paper NGO 22 entitled Security and Humanitarian Implications of Relying on Nuclear Weapons for Deterrence and Effective Legal Alternatives submitted by Acronym Institute for Disarmament Diplomacy, as mentioned by Ireland, to be very useful contributions to our discussion of this matter. We certainly share one of the key assertions of Acronym's working paper, that is, nuclear deterrence beliefs, assumptions, and requirements impede meaningful progress towards multilateral nuclear disarmament by reinforcing the assumptions and value attached to nuclear weapons by some possessor states. Mr. Chairman, I would like to repeat this assertion, which we fully concur with. Nuclear deterrence beliefs, assumptions, and requirements impede meaningful progress towards multilateral nuclear disarmament by reinforcing the assumption and value attached to nuclear weapons by some possessor states. This reliance on nuclear deterrence entails, in essence, threats to commit, as Dr. Ritchie starkly pointed out yesterday, massive nuclear violence. That is, as Acronym said, mass murder of innocent non-combatants and environmental devastation on a massive scale. Nuclear deterrence risk a suicidal course of action for all states involved, and I think we all know this. Looking at the utility of these weapons in today's world or in the 21st century, and General Cartwright has outlined for us what the security environment looks like today, Jamaica noted in his statement on behalf of CARICOM member states to the 2015 MPT review conference that these weapons are of no use in addressing today's security threats. They serve no purpose in combating transnational organized crime, preventing terrorism, violent extremism, and curbing cyber warfare. Rather, they breed a climate of insecurity that heightens the risk of proliferation. Moreover, as Acronym rightly pointed out in his working paper, the prioritizing of funds and resources for manufacturing, developing, and deploying nuclear weapons has humanitarian and social implications with a gendered impact that disproportionately harms the lives of women and girls. Against this backdrop, I wish to make the following comments and pose a few questions. The premise of nuclear deterrence is that by threatening to annihilate the populations and cities of another country, it is possible to gain security. If that is true for countries that have nuclear weapons or are part of nuclear armed alliances, then isn't the conclusion that every nation should have the right to acquire nuclear weapons so that their people can be protected by the same deterrent means? So, if deterrence works for some, why not for everyone? And under what logic? Why are we continuing with non-proliferation efforts? In this connection, I wish to ask General Cartwright and the countries that are part of the nuclear umbrellas or who are here defending nuclear deterrence to explain to me why Jamaica should not get nuclear weapons in order to benefit from the same kind of deterrence to prevent some possible or future threat. We have heard from some member states that deterrence means having nuclear weapons in order to ensure that no one ever uses nuclear weapons. and that to credibly deter, it is not enough just to have nuclear weapons in storage somewhere. The nuclear weapons have to be exercised, they have to have delivered vehicles and ride around in submarines or on airplanes or on land-based launches, and that all the military operations have to be practiced and shown to be credible, especially when weapons are on high alert. But if nuclear weapons are used operationally, actually fired, then deterrence has failed. So how can firing of nuclear weapons ever be justified or in fact be credible? Either the possessor fires first, as implied in deterrence based on the first use of nuclear weapons, that is surely an aggressive nuclear escalation in a conventional conflict, and so a crime against humanity. It cannot be considered a deterrent and may actually precipitate an all-out nuclear war. Or the possessor fires nuclear weapons in retaliation after being attacked with nuclear weapons, but that is not deterrence. But if you have got to that stage, deterrence has already failed. In either scenario, the humanitarian consequences will far outweigh any gains. So if some countries are clinging to nuclear weapons or nuclear umbrellas in the belief that this means that no one will ever detonate nuclear weapons, then wouldn't a more rational and sensible approach be to prohibit and eliminate nuclear weapons, as that would make it much less likely that nuclear weapons would ever be used, even if deterrents fail and there is a conflict between or among states? And my last question. For the majority of UN member states, such as Jamaica, which do not have nuclear weapons, what means should we employ to deter threats to our security?